The last three petitions of the Lord's Prayer should not be separated from one another, but taken together. And yet we must preach on them, it seems, and deal with them somewhat separately. And we come at last to the final petition in the Lord's Prayer. And I will read it to you from Matthew chapter 6 and the verse 12. Excuse me, verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. As we beg mercy for forgiveness for our sins that are past, so we are to watch and to pray against falling into more sin in the future. So the sixth and the final petition in the Lord's Prayer is expressed both negatively and positively. Lead us not into temptation. Negative. But deliver us from evil. And there is a definite article in the Greek. From the evil. We could translate it, or the evil one. Some have translated it perhaps correctly, but maybe not exclusively, that it would imply the devil only. But all the evil that we can face, we wish to be delivered from in a positive way. But first the negative, which we want to deal with this afternoon. We take up this part, lead us not into temptation. So is this a prayer that God would not tempt us? Well, let me read to you what our larger catechism so clearly has said in summary in this petition. Listen carefully. I will read it only the once. In the sixth petition, which is, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, acknowledging that the most wise, righteous, and gracious God, for divers holy and just ends, may so order things that we may be assaulted, foiled, and for a time led captive by temptations, that Satan, the world, and the flesh are ready powerfully to draw us aside and ensnare us, and that we, even after the pardon of our sins by reason of our corruption, weakness, and want of watchfulness, are not only subject to be tempted and forward to expose ourselves unto temptations, but also of ourselves unable and unwilling to resist them, to recover out of them, and to improve them, and worthy to be left under the power of them. We pray that God would so overrule the world and all in it, subdue the flesh, restrain the devil, order all things, bestow all blessed, bestow and bless all means of grace, and quicken us to watchfulness in the use of them, that we and all his people may, by his providence, be kept from being tempted to sin. Or if tempted, that by his Spirit we may be powerfully supported and enabled to stand in the hour of temptation, or when fallen, raised again and recovered out of it, and have a sanctified use and improvement thereof, that our sanctification and salvation may be perfected, Satan trodden under our feet, and we fully freed from sin, temptation, and all evil forever. Both the negative and the positive, treated by the larger catechism. We will deal, as I say, only with one half today, hopefully the Lord willing, on another occasion, the second half of this petition. the positive. Now we must remember, to be tempted is not sin. You can be tempted without falling, without entertaining the sin, or yielding to the sin. And you have not sinned. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Was he really tempted? Yes, he was. Could he have sinned? No. Yet he could be tempted to sin. And it was the devil who, by the Spirit of God, led Jesus into temptation in the wilderness. Did you not hear it? Surely you did. Maybe it startled you, or maybe you missed it because it was so startling, unexpected. Now, there are two words, both in Greek and in Hebrew, for this word that is sometimes translated temptation. Both of them have the idea of putting to the test. The first of those words, both Greek and Hebrew, carries the meaning of putting to the test in order to prove the validity of the one who's being tested and proven. The other word, both Greek and Hebrew word, convey the idea of testing through temptation to sin. Now, the first is never used of Satan. The second is infrequently used of God. And yet God can at times be said at times to expose us to the opportunity that could lead to sin. I read that passage from Judges. I think you should look at it again sometimes. And I will read also from Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, chapter 32 and following. The book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. And the chapter 32 and the verse 31. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, and that he might know all that was in his heart. So the Lord did try to see what was in Hezekiah, to prove him, to test him, to reveal what he was made of, whether there was true faith in that man, Hezekiah, the king. Now we are taught to pray, lead us not into temptation. Now of all the petitions in the Lord's Prayer, this has been given the greatest perplexity to people, to Christian people, to their minds and hearts. Does God actually lead us into temptation? It's asked. Yes, he does. God leads us sometimes in an order to show what we are made of. We want to talk a good bit more about this. And leads us, therefore, into temptation, not to cause us to sin, but to show whether we will follow the Lord. Tries us to see if we are believers, tries to see if we will succumb to the temptation. Not in order to entice us to do the sinful thing, but in order to test us and prove us of what we are made. Now it must be said very clearly, and I want to say it again because I've said it enough, but perhaps enough is not enough, that God never tempts us in the sense of soliciting or enticing us to the sin, to the evil of sin. God never entices anyone to sin. God is not sinful, nor does he ever lead others to entice them into sin. And Christ is not suggesting this when he teaches us to pray, lead us not into temptation. Now, the book of James is very clear about this. Perhaps you're mindful of what he says. James chapter 1 and verse 13, where we read these words in the first chapter of James and the 13th verse. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. So God does not lead men into sin, though he may lead them into the temptation that could be the occasion for them yielding to the sinful desires. Now remember that temptation is not sin in itself. Jesus could be tempted and never sinned. And having said that, then what is Jesus asking for or teaching us to ask for in this petition? God leads us into green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. Does he lead us to the valley of the shadow of death? Yes, he does. But I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, even in the valley of the shadow of death. Though God is leading us, we're not afraid. He will be with us. We should be seeking him and taking him, as it were, with us on the journey, wherever we go, in any part of that journey. God led his only begotten Son into just such a place and a time. Jesus was led by the Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, led Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Now, God did not entice Jesus to sin. He could not be tempted in that direction. And yet was led by the devil to the occasion that might, with other people, have brought sin about. And it was God, the Holy Spirit, was the one who was involved in leading the Lord Jesus to be tempted in the wilderness. John Owen has written, God tempts none as temptation formally leads into sin, but he orders temptation. He has decreed that there be those temptations, but he does not do the enticing. So what is involved in being led into temptation? We are said to be led into temptation when God orders our lives so that we are exposed to the pressures and something of the allurement of the world, the flesh and the devil, or a combination of them all, that could have brought about sin. Now we are said to enter into temptation when we've been led to a place and a time of enticement, and God temporarily withdraws his grace and leaves us to entertain and yield to that temptation and sin. But we're enticed by our own lusts into that sin, not by God's leading. So what is Christ teaching us? He's teaching us to beg God not to order our lives so that we are being brought into the place in the time of temptation from the devil, the flesh, or the world. Don't lead us this way, O Lord. We beseech him not to withdraw his grace and leave us exposed and helpless to the wiles of the devil and the passions of the flesh and the powerful lure of the world. We're asking God rather to lead us and graciously order our lives so that we are not exposed to the full onslaught of temptation and of evil. Where would any of us be if God's grace did not lead us and keep us away from the temptation? Lord, if you're not like I am, you must still pray. I think you probably are like I am. Lord, lead us where we need to walk. We are like dry tinder. We are like straw ready to ignite at a spark and flame. We don't want to be inflamed in sin because we can burst into sin suddenly. It's happened to many, maybe to you. I'm sure it probably has on occasion when you did not know what you were doing and suddenly you were lured to that place of temptation and you burst, as it were, like a flame into sin. How prone we are we not, to sin? How much more zealous the devil is to tempt his God's children. God's children are being tempted by many things. The devil is tempting them. He doesn't tempt his own children so much. They're his. He's got them. They're his. Does he tempt Christians? Yes, he does. Those are the ones he tempts, luring them, tempting them, telling them lies about sin, falsehoods, untruths, lies about sin. Never excuse, therefore, your sin. Never blame God for your sin. Don't even blame the devil. The devil didn't make you do it. He tempted you to do it and led you as you were dry tinder into the place where you could be brought to burst into flame and sin against God. Yes, God may sometimes lead you into temptation, as Christ was led by the Spirit into the place of temptation, which the devil certainly did tempt him more than once. Yes, the devil does actively seek to solicit, to entice you to do the sinful thing. But ultimately it is you and I, it is we who do the sinful act. We cannot blame the devil. The devil didn't make you do it. You did it willingly if you sinned against the Lord. However, there is another question we must entertain. Not only what is Christ saying, I hope it is clear what he's saying, but why does God sometimes lead his children into temptation? Well, I've spoken to it quickly. Let me say it again, I hope more fully and perhaps more clearly. First of all, he leads us into temptation to try us or prove us. Now, the devil seeks to ruin us. God seeks to test us, to try us, to prove us, to see if we love him, to see if we believe him, to see if we're sincere. Or not. So he's testing our courage to resist the sin, our wisdom to resist the sin, our love to him so that we would not go into sin. Let me read to you from 1 Peter chapter 1, a very favorite passage of mine to read often when I'm with people who are being tried and tempted. It is a wonderful passage. Listen carefully what the Lord says through Peter. Peter knew temptation, did he not? He was tempted much beyond what some of us could have been able to bear. But in the first chapter of 1 Peter, verse 7, we read that the trial of your faith, the testing or the proving of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So God is testing, proving, trying us. What are we made of? He also does it to humble us. So are we man? Are we manful? Are we courageous? Are we wise? Are we loving? Will we overcome? Or will we yield? You're being tested in many ways. But humble us as well, and keep us under, as it were, from pride. We, like Peter, was he not tempted? Yes, he was. Learn your own weakness and utter inability. So when any of his people, God's people, may be tempted to be lifted up with their pride, God may cure it by leading them into temptation. He shows us what's in our heart, exposes it for what it really is like, sinful in itself. Unless he keep us, he keeps us, and we do not yield. Let me read from 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. The 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians and the 7th verse. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul's own experience, God was bringing him down, humbling him, lest he should be proud and lifted up because he had had such blessings from the Lord, beyond others perhaps. How will he know if he doesn't test you? And he does, to humble you and show you that you must walk with him, not trusting yourself, trusting to him. His Spirit only will enable you to resist. And then he also does it to equip the servants of the Lord for ministry. Who can better warn and advise and comfort those who are tempted than those who themselves have felt the temptation deep in their souls? When he was asked, Martin Luther replied to the question, what is essential for the ministry? He said, Luther did, a wise man, prayer, meditation, temptation are essential to equip the minister for ministry. Now, yours may not be a public ministry, but you should be a minister of the Lord in a quiet way, perhaps, in the own sphere where God has given you influence. And what will prepare you for it is prayer, meditation on the Word of God, and temptation. Yes, temptation as well. That's essential to prepare you, equip you. Then lastly, I could mention other things, but I will say this at last. In order to make the wanderer return to the Father and long for the Father's home, in our Father's arms, there is not only safety from temptation and evil, but a welcome, a refuge for the wanderer. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above, said the poet. And another poet, I was a wandering sheep. I loved to roam. I loved to leave my Father's home. We are tempted to leave the Lord, the God, and wander. How does he keep us? By exposing us sometime to temptation. Home is sweet to the battle-wearied soldier. Now, in this world, temptations are not unusual, but rather they are frequent. God frequently can expose us to these kinds of things, often does. So we've looked at what Christ is teaching us in this petition, and especially you must remember that temptation is not sin. Why he does it, and I've given you some reasons. There may be multitudes of other reasons, but these are some of those reasons. But then how may a child resist the temptation? It is certain that you and I must resist steadfastly. Let me read to you again in James chapter 4, verse 7. James in the 4th chapter says, and the 7th verse, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hearts, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, for your laughter shall be turned into mourning, and your joy into heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Wow. And then 1 Peter chapter 5 and the verse 8 and 9. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Reading at verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. How will we resist? By faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Resist in the faith. So how may the child resist the temptation, the sin? Watch and pray. Let me read to you again from Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41. Matthew 26. And reading at verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Over and over, we are told to watch and pray. Be alert. Stay awake. Be wide awake. Vigilant. On your guard. What other words can I use? Spiritual drowsiness will allow the devil to overrun you and me. He may do it anyway, but he will do it more easily if we're not watchful, if we're overconfident. So overconfidence puts the devil in a superior position quite often. On the other hand, prayer keeps us fresh, keeps us fit, keeps us strong spiritually. Let me read to you from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 8, the book of Ephesians in the 6th chapter and the 8th verse of that chapter 6. Knowing that whatsoever good any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. Oh, verse 18, I'm sorry. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Dr. Lloyd-Jones calls it the four alls of prayer. Listen carefully. The four alls of prayer. Praying always with all prayer, all kinds of prayer, and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. Don't give up. Don't quit. Persevere. And supplication for all the saints. And he goes on, for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. We should be praying, watching, always, for all the saints, in every situation, praying and watching. We're never stronger or more alert than when we're on our knees, when we're humbly praying. We are stronger than at any other point in our life when we pray. God is strong for us because prayer depends on God. It looks humbly to God. It cries out for God's help. God will help those who cry out to Him in prayer. So we are strongest when we're praying. Never the weakest, but the strongest. And we must be armed, as it were. If we're going to do battle, now a soldier must be tested, so God tests us to prove us, to show whether we have it in us to be a soldier of the cross. But we must be equipped also with all the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, where we reread these words, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand against the devil and all evil. And he goes on to list the parts of that armor that we need to take and use as effectively as we can, by His mercy, by His grace, by His power. So, we must watch and pray. We must be armed, as fully armed as we can be, for the battle, as a soldier would be. And then we must sometime flee temptation. I will read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The verse is 13 and following. 1 Corinthians 10, and verse 13. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God, who is faithful, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. He doesn't let you get exposed beyond your ability, if you will but look to him in prayer and use the armor given. But will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape that ye may bear it. So sometimes we have to escape the temptation, run from it, as it were. Flee to the Lord. Flee from the temptation. Flee from the devil. Flee from the world. Go to God. Don't trifle with sin. Don't play with sin. Don't ever play with sin. It is dangerous beyond ever you can imagine. Often we do. We need a way of escape, and we need sometimes just to say, I must run. I must flee the sin that I'm so liable to. Not always, but often, sometimes at least. So, let me warn you, never boast of your own strength. You don't have any. If you have any strength, it's from God. Keep praying, watching, looking to the Lord, alert, awake, wide awake. Be aware of what's going on within you and around you. And never trifle, never play with sin. If God withdraws his grace and leaves you, you will be overcome. So walk carefully, walk tenderly, when he leads you into temptation, as he may sometimes do, for good and holy purposes, not for evil. Mourn over your failures to watch and pray, or to arm yourself for the battle. Shun the occasion of temptation. Sometime flee from it. We haven't done it. We sometime have played around, thinking we could resist. Do not play. Pray. Don't play. Pray God would not lead you into temptation. And then practice what you pray. Do not go into temptation. Go to the place of temptation. Pornography, the girly magazine, whatever it is. Don't play with those things. Shun them, abhor them, despise them. They lead you into sin. Always. Can you resist pornography? Very few can. Don't play with it. We are flippant. God carries about with him the way by his Spirit of resisting, of not yielding. You are flammable material. You can burst into flames, into temptation. So keep the greatest possible distance between you and the fire. Watch. Pray. I've said it again. I say it again. As we cannot be tempted without the will of our Father, he does guide and order our whole lives, including whether we are led into temptation. But we should pray against being led in that direction. So We cannot be delivered without the power of God from the temptation. Wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Prayer, watching and praying. Crying out to God to deliver you from the evil of the temptation. We do hope to speak about that another day, the Lord willing. Let us stand together. We come, O Lord, to thee. We have no other we can go to. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. To your glory we ask it. In Jesus' name, amen.